Good morning. Welcome to the Bikecast. Going to venture into uncertain waters today because in my particular corner of the anarchosphere there's been a conversation going on. It's ongoing, I guess, but it's sort of gained focus, and that is to do with women, minorities, non-whites, I guess, and anarchy or libertarianism, I think, more broadly. There are a number of instincts that dissuade us, I think, from talking about these topics. And I'm not going to go into the motivations, I don't know what they are, but they are typically of the form that, you know, race and gender are, and a hierarchy based on race and gender are not, you know, they're just not a part of what an anarchist world looks like. And so current libertarians or anarchists don't need to be worried about it or don't need to consider these factors because they're not the ones creating structural institutional hierarchies. I don't necessarily have a problem with the argument myself or the argument itself. The problem is when the argument is used to shut down discussion, conversation, questions, whatever, initiated by non-white non-males, which in itself is a problem for a certain type of libertarian, type of anarchist. I'm going to use the terms interchangeably. So when I say libertarian, I mean not a political libertarian, but rather somebody who adheres to the non-aggression principle. There's a certain type of libertarian that already has a problem with even just the delineation I've already made, because the validity of an argument or the way in which we proceed after hearing an argument shouldn't depend upon the race or gender of the speaker. So if someone can say to me, I don't like talking about issues of race and gender because the world I envision is colorblind and non-hierarchical, then that's fine. But if the same thing is said to a woman who's asking about a perceived attack, perceived misogyny, etc., then it's shutting down conversation. I think that's just an issue of the sort of rule-based mindset that likes to have a reliable set of guidelines for whatever, everything, frankly. I think a little harsh maybe, but that libertarians have invisible reality. I guess it's not invisible, but it's certainly not in the forefront of people's thinking when discussing gender, specifically race as well, but which is that as long as there has been human history, women have been property of men, except for 100 or so years of it. And similar arguments can be made about race and slavery as well. Women are a more clear-cut, a more historically undeniable example. Because, and this is the important central understanding in my opinion, we have always lived, you know, I'm not arguing anthropology here, but for all of recorded history, and you have to assume most of unrecorded history, in violence-based social structures, where, as today, strength, the ability to protect oneself and inflict harm, is ultimately what decides outcomes. Even if there's some niceties built around it to try to avoid physical conflict, those niceties are usually held in place. Those niceties are inevitably held in place and enforced by the strongest person or group of people in a society. That is what we are fighting against. That is the most basic description of hierarchy, or I guess political hierarchy. And as long as that system has been around, women have been unequal. They have always been below everybody else, along with children. Like, children have it yet worse than women. So if you look around the world at any system, at any country, at any time, and you find some guy and you say, this guy, his life really sucks. He's really being oppressed. He's really a slave to others. He's really in a crappy social position. You can always say, well, it would be worse if he was a woman. And by any metric, by the way, just a side note, I realize I'm kind of drifting to just gender. A lot of this stuff is also applicable to thinking about race, but I probably will stick with gender going forward because I'm halfway there and I haven't even started yet. Halfway to work and I haven't even started yet. If there's anyone who wishes to argue the point that by any metric and at any or all points of recorded human history, shit has been much worse for women, I am happy to entertain your arguments. I've never seen any evidence to the contrary, so I'm not going to really argue the point to the ground here. But that, replies our somewhat defensive libertarian friend, is exactly the point. This is a valid point, and is sort of one of the legs of why this is such an interesting topic, I think, for me and for lots of people, which is that nobody would benefit more greatly from a truly non-violent, non-hierarchical society than women. I guess in general, the lower you are in a hierarchy, the more of a slave you are to the whims of others, the less the control you have over your own person, the greater you're going to benefit from living in a society of equals, society not structured on the basis of violence and domination. And the obvious observation is that there are almost no women, or a teensy tiny percentage, in the libertarian movement, in the anarchist movement. And so the obvious question, as I said at the very beginning, is, well, you know, why is this? I kind of feel like I'm going in circles, but I feel like it's kind of working. Maybe it's building a little bit. And when this question is asked, as somebody who has no experience as a woman or as a non-white, or as, you know, this is also, like I said, a wide-ranging argument, but it also holds for gender identity, sexual preference, you know, anything. And that's another example of, no matter how bad things are, it's always worse if you're not traditionally gendered and or are attracted to members of the same sex. Let's rein it in here, rein it in. So when those kind of questions are asked, white straight dude has two options. And I'm oversimplifying this, and I'm setting up a straw man to some degree, but I think it points to something real that maybe is can be followed up on and further discussed. But the options are one, since he has accepted the tenets of nonviolence and of anarchism, and is at least intellectually, consciously making the decision that all human beings are his equal, that he has no right to dominate anybody based on anything, that a member of an oppressed group, a woman, say, should be able to make the same decision, and is just choosing not to. Or maybe she is more easily seduced by pro-state arguments, because, of course, the state takes credit for women's struggles for equality. Wherever they reach a landmark, the state jumps in and says, we have given women the vote, we're leveling the playing field, etc. So the argument goes that they're, despite how crappy everything is, again, by every metric imaginable, they somehow feel that the state is their best bet at progress. Other arguments go that women are via nurture or nature, are more social people, socially oriented, and they have a hard time going against the grain, and thereby cannot accept the tenets of anarchism. There are a number of arguments, and I don't even think that they're not factors. I'm not saying they're not factors, but there is a giant blind spot, and the giant blind spot is exactly where we as anarchists claim that we're focusing all of our light and attention. And that is, of course, around dominance and violence and hierarchy. If you've ever watched an outspoken woman claim space for herself in any, you know, in any venue, the anger, and this is, I've only ever really witnessed this, you know, online, in the realm of politics anyway, the amount of anger and just venomous, vitriolic attacks are astounding. And you can go see this pretty much anywhere there is a strong, outspoken woman with a making pro-female arguments of any sort. You'll see this phenomenon. And I think there's just this blind spot here, because it's clear, it's obvious. If you surf around the internet for just a little while, and I'll throw up some good sites to get started if you kind of want to see this shit, all right, it's amazing and disturbing how quickly people will jump in, males will jump in, and attack an outspoken woman. And this is universal. If you read anything about the Middle East, for example, women who are not properly clad even are harassed and beaten and sexually assaulted by mobs of strangers. And even in a very, very friendly forum, an anarchist forum, they're truly composed of, let's call them, true believers that again, intellectually accept equality, intellectually accept the tenets of non-domination, and who propose that gender and race do not matter, or should not matter, in a social structure. Even in a, like the Facebook forum in which prompted this podcast, even there, the very beginning of the conversation is a series of white men saying that race and gender don't matter, and who are putting forward every argument there is, except for the most obvious one, which is that after being property owned and disposed of in any way a man saw fit for 50,000 years or so, and emerging in the last 50 or 100 years only by applying the full force of will against reactionary forces that at every turn are beating, often literally beating them back. There's a tendency to be wary or to find distasteful or dangerous heated topics where even one's allies are quite likely to have a problem with you holding, taking up and holding space. And of course, every woman's experience is different. Every woman has her own reasons, but it is very difficult to hear those reasons in spaces where men dominate the discussion. There's a strong similarity, I think, between the process of understanding just how foundational gender disparity is to our society in a very invisible way, and seeing the violence perpetrated by the state, which for most people is also invisible. And it's one of those things that, typically anyway, there's an initial denial or disbelief or a stock of sort of mechanical responses and defense mechanisms, deflections, jokes, whatever it may be that allows for the point to be dismissed or minimized. But over time, if one keeps an open mind, and when one sees examples, again, I'm doing a bad job creating a parallel here, but to come up with a parallel for state violence, if one concentrates on sort of lingering on stories of police violence and so-called foreign policy, the murdering of human beings and other land masses, and say prison statistics and judicial corruption, etc., if a person allows themselves to linger on these things with the filter in mind, the premise that the state is violent, the state is protecting privilege, etc., then you start to see these patterns everywhere. And I think it's the same thing with gender, race, etc. Is if in a discussion or a debate or whatever, pay attention to how quickly it is before the perception or the position or, God forbid, the emotional experience of a woman is dismissed or minimized or explained away by two or more men. Now, you might especially see if the woman decides to respond to them, how many more pile on. And if you're not on a anarchist forum, if you're just in the general population, really read and sit with the language that is used against women. Again, I'll throw up a couple good links for you to particularly combative, shall we say, forums, and really sit with the threats of rape and death and the degradation and humiliation that is intended upon female participants. And I know the same interactions occur against male participants too, but it's the interesting thing here is, and it's something else that you will start to see everywhere, attacks on men are usually feminizing attacks. They are attempts to frame the target as being an object, a possession, a sexual outlet, or just weak and unable to protect oneself physically. So yeah, it is interesting that feminization is a common form of abuse among men. I don't have any great wrap-up advice or anything, except that I guess there's general advice for all these sorts of things. When you feel yourself having a reaction, and just like, again, when you felt yourself having a reaction to defend authority, and then at some point you caught yourself and you sat with the thought and asked yourself where it came from and worked through the the knee-jerk reactions, and really began to reason about something, reason about the issue. That's the same thing here. When that reaction comes up to defend yourself against, again, a perceived charge, typically, that there is a problem that women are experiencing based on gender, one way or the other. When you feel that reaction coming up, just mark it and consider not responding. Consider asking to hear more or asking for more information, or thinking through what was just said and trying to put yourself in the position of a person, again, who's probably one of the first two or three generations of their gender to not be owned by somebody else, who can be physically dominated by at least 50% of the human beings on the earth, and for whom really almost nobody is going to categorically defend. And yes, it takes time, and yes, conversations can end far more quickly and with short-term satisfaction by dazzling someone with a rhetorical display or shouting someone down or just filling a space and not allowing anyone in who's not willing to push their way in. But it's extremely worthwhile. So let's say it's extremely urgent that this is becomes a more widespread approach, because unlike the other cultural divides around us, there's simply no way to live in a hierarchy-free world without coming to some resolution around gender. I guess it's not really that important of a point, but it's possible, as long as we all agree to respect each other's differences, that I will never have to really understand the worldview of people in Central Asia. I am not in any way a separatist, but it is possible to imagine a peaceful world where there are groups of people who just fundamentally don't understand where the group of people is coming from as far as the way they imagine the universe and their place in it. But men and women don't really have that option. And again, once, to go back to my previous point, if you're really looking for it, the way in which we behave almost as two different species of being with regard to the way we relate to one another, it really is critical that some time and thought and energy be put into resolving the situation or improving the situation. And as the dominator, the onus is entirely upon men, however unfair it may seem, to make the concessions, to make the adjustments, because we really can't move forward in any sort of measurable way until we get the other half of the human race on board with these ideas, or put it another way, until we get on board with the other half of the human race and their struggle for freedom and happiness. I'd really appreciate hearing your thoughts on the matter, so if you have any, stop by jaddavis.com, and you can find my email address there in the contact section, or you can post a comment right there on the blog. This is probably in the early 50s somewhere. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it, and I'm interested to hear what you think. Until next time, take care.